Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the third podcast. Today, special guest is Alex. Alex Boxing and Boxing Match. And he came on. He said, I want to talk about Boxing Match to promote myself, but he won't come on to other podcasts we record. Remember when you show up for poker and then leave?
Yeah, you tricked me.
Anyway, special guest Alex. Everyone, round of applause.
Can I clap for myself?
No.
No. Put your hands down.
Stop that.
Sorry.
You know I was going to give you shit when you sent that message.
As soon as I pressed enter, I was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
You're like, you know, even if you had played it safe and come on like the week earlier too, then you wouldn't have gotten shit for it.
I know. To be fair, it was a shit message.
Even Alex, if you had just said, oh, I can come on the podcast this week and just didn't even tell us your motivations.
Well, don't you like me being honest? Well, the fact that I respect you enough to actually.
No, I do. I do because it lets me make fun of you.
Yeah, that's good. I knew this would be a bit.
I would prefer if you lied, actually. I don't really want to know what everyone actually is thinking or doing. I just want the ambiguity.
I found the conversation. At William Osman, can I come on the podcast next time and chat about the boxing match I'm doing? And I said, wow. That's all I said. And then you said, I mean, you were honest. Sorry, I only want free. I'm sorry. I only want you for promotion.
Because I read into the wow very heavily. I was like, oh, that's a negative wow. I gotta apologize for this one.
But what about next week?
Are you busy next week? I'll be in America next week, Will. So.
Oh, hey, we could do an in-person podcast next week.
There we go. You guys can help.
Like you're trying to figure out how to get out of it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Can we be like sparring partners with you? Do you need sparring partners to practice?
Yeah, we can do that. We can do 1v3. You guys can just beat me up.
Hell yeah.
You know, after like seeing some of the videos of people training, I don't think I'd want to fight any of them with zero training.
Yeah, but if it's three on one.
That's like saying like 100 people with their fists versus one guy with a gun. Like, I don't know. Some people are going to lose really bad.
I think who was it? When your really muscular friend Chase, there was that one time where it was me, Kevin, and Morgan put all our arms together and arm wrestled him, and we actually beat him 3-on-1. Remember that? Stacked like into each other. We kind of like nested inside of each other so that all of our arms were lined up, and we actually beat Chase.
Wait, speaking of people who haven't been here for a while.
Yeah, Nigel. Have you been, Alan? Yeah. Looking
Nigel.
At you.
I've always been here
everyone on this podcast.
I'm one of the only ones.
Nigel and I constantly talk about how do we make this podcast more efficient so we don't spend like 3 hours sitting in front of a computer. You know, I really want to do this in person, but everybody lives so far away, so we can't actually.
If you guys just move to Canada, it'd be so easy.
Why? Oh, no, nobody wants to move to Canada. I'd rather move to Australia before Canada.
I'd rather die.
Do that.
Here's a good question. What is wrong with Canada? Serious answers only.
Okay. Follow-up question. What's good about Canada?
That's not an answer.
I mean,
you guys are so opposed to living here. What is so off-putting? What hurts?
Yeah,
you
I don't
so
understand
bad?
The like, opposition.
It's cold. There's no sun. I mean, look how pale you are.
Yeah, because I live.
That's because he doesn't go outside.
Yeah, that's completely irrelevant.
There's no sun.
Yeah, well, clearly Canada doesn't have good weather to be outside in.
You could go to Vancouver, which has significantly better weather. Because I'm on the East Coast, so it just gets cold.
No, honestly, I like Montreal. I really like Montreal.
Is that because they're French?
Yeah. Are we allowed to talk about all the things that we did in Montreal?
We can talk about some of the things we did.
Okay, I have a question. When you guys were in Montreal, did you go to the strip club?
Yes, absolutely.
We went. Alan.
Well, there's one that's from Nigel's house.
Alan. I would not. Okay, it's like, it's a technicality, right? It's a technicality.
It's a technicality.
We went, but did we go?
We went to the strip club.
I mean, if you're talking about how it was the saddest experience ever because of COVID rules.
Yeah, so if you go...
How long did this podcast take to completely derail?
If you go to Alex, if you go to McDonald's and you make the journey to McDonald's and then the doors are locked and the drive-thru's closed, you still went to McDonald's.
You still went there because you in your mind intended to eat McDonald's.
No, no, no. It's more like
you intended to go kiss a stripper.
You go to the McDonald's. It's open, but every machine they have is broken except for, I don't know, what's the worst thing?
Is this your analogy for strippers?
Alan, I would not, don't describe anything. No, don't be rude.
Yeah,
don't describe
strippers as broken machines.
every item in the McDonald's is unavailable except for a soda. And so then you order a soda. Did you go to McDonald's? You did go to McDonald's.
Alex, the best way, so what happened was Alan was very, very excited to see what Montreal had to offer. So yes. I, as a host, was trying to give him the best Montreal experience. So I brought, we went to a place, and there's nobody there. Like, literally.
Nothing gives me more joy than watching Nigel try to describe
way. We were the only people there. We literally walked in, and the bouncer's like, look, man, honestly, I don't blame you if you just leave. Because he just said that.
Do they charge you at the door?
Well, there's no strippers here. We have to call
one
and wake
her
up.
But he just said there was not a single patron in the place. We were the only people there. And he was like, there's one person here working, and she was about to leave.
We caught her just in the nick of time.
Like, I don't understand how they've just stayed open when there's nobody there. I don't really get it.
I think they were hoping that we would show up. I think they were hoping that we would come along.
So it was empty. Literally, almost nobody was there.
Is that a good experience or a bad experience?
I think it was great. Especially the whole time Nigel was talking about how awesome the place was. Like, it was normally supposed to be
say it was awesome.
Now you make you not just sound like your regular
show. He's so bad.
I did not say it was awesome, Alan.
Yes, you did. Yes, liar. What?
Alan, you can say anything you want right now, and we're all going to believe it.
So what I said, Alan, was I said it's shocking one way because it's in a suburb, basically. Like, it's not in a downtown area. So I said what's shocking is that it's in a suburb, but it's like not as dead as you think it would be. But then we went in. There was no
This was McDonald's.
Yeah, and only the soda machine was working at the McDonald's.
Would have been so good if you went with Nigel Allen and the security guard knew his name and was like, welcome back, man. You in for the usual?
Nigel.
What we didn't realize was that, we figured this out after. It's because the day we went was because it was the only night when Alan was in town that we had time to go. And it just so happened that that was the first day that the COVID rules lifted and actually allowed strippers to be there. Before that, it was just a restaurant.
Wait, strippers? I thought we were talking about McDonald's.
It's a metaphor.
No, talking about the strip club.
What would be worse, the bouncer knowing your name or the soda machine knowing
you
your name?
You can't call them. neither of them are.
Probably
there's nothing
machine.
Wrong with either of them.
Yeah.
I didn't say what
what's
wrong.
What's
I said
worse?
Which would be worse.
I think it's weirder if it's one of those robot soda machines and it knows your name when you put the cup up to it.
Yeah,
I think that's way worse.
That would have been you program the machine or something. How does that even work?
I've only been to, I think, a strip club twice in my life. And I did not like it. It was honestly, I don't even want to say sad. I want to say... No, I was going to say, damn it, sad is what I was going to say. I don't want to say it made me uncomfortable. It made me sad.
Yeah.
Why?
I've been twice as well, and I felt extremely sad. I was like, this is a horrible place.
Yeah.
Alan's why? Alan, so here's the thing.
Does
to defend you,
sad.
Alan, the reason that you didn't feel sad was because there was nobody there.
To feel sad.
There was, no, you know what is sad? It's the what happened right after. Like, after we left the strip club, do you remember when we were sitting in the car and we saw this car pull up and this, like, it was like a clown car, like, bros.
Yeah, like,
I
nine
swear to God,
guys.
It was like half a dozen bros came out of that car, and, like, it's watching, like, a disaster in slow motion because they're walking towards the strip club, and we already know that there's no one in there. And they're, like, really excited, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so they left in 1 sec. It was literally they all walked in, and yeah. then they all came out.
Turned around and walked out.
But I just want to say, the reason it's for, I mean, which I agree with you guys, like it being sad is like, it. I mean, it's the whole like obvious atmosphere of the, I mean, the entire premise. Yeah, I mean, that's it. You know what? That's my entire point.
Everything.
That's it.
It's like, it's the whole experience is what makes it sad. Because it's like the people that are in there, like as customers.
Oh, I just go for the food. I just go for the hot wings.
Is that a thing? They give you free hot wings?
I don't think they're free.
I mean, nothing's free.
Yeah,
some places will give you free food. But I mean, it's like there'll be like a cover at the door, but then the food is free. It's like one of those sorts
okay.
of things.
I like it, one drink and one chicken wing.
One chicken wing.
That's pretty good.
One chicken wing.
The first strip club I went to was so fucked up. It wasn't in Australia. It was in Thailand.
Oh, no.
And it was one of those ones that just like, its whole shtick is that it like degrades women. So that the reason everyone went to this one in Pattaya was because it was called like a ping pong show. Mm. So girls would you know.
I thought that was a meme.
No, it's real. But it got so much worse than ping pongs. There was one that would do this thing where she would smoke cigarettes up her vagina and then men would come on stage and she would blow the smoke out onto them.
No.
My God. So I don't think you went to a strip club. I don't think you can even include that in the same category.
And I'm like, why does Alan want this? Why does Alan want to see this?
Wait, I have a question. Like, were you at all prepared for that when you went to it?
We were a little bit drunk and we thought, because it's just something people recommend. They're like, oh, you got to go see the ping pong show in Pattaya. Oh. But then I didn't know it would literally be families watching these girls. Like, it was so fucked up. It's like the worst thing I've ever seen.
What do you
seen.
Mean? Describe families.
It was like, looked like a dad with his son that was probably like 17 would go in and see this 40-year-old woman smoke cigarettes out of her vagina. And I had a mate. I'll say who it is. It was Alexa. He went up on stage and she got like a blowgun, put a dart inside it, put it to her vagina, and she popped balloons that he placed like in between his arms, under his legs.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And they just like pull people from the audience.
Just pull people.
I will tell you this,
Alex. That doesn't even sound sad anymore. That sounds awesome. At first it was really sad. And then like as it kept going, once the blowgun comes out, it actually looped back around. I was like, holy crap, that sounds amazing.
Well, it's almost so fucked up, it becomes like something you would see in Star Wars, like this weird, like dystopian strip club with like
Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
They're like, what's the worst thing we could think of? We're like, the thing that like nobody really wants to see, but like, would you go back?
Because it's like Jabba the Hutt was supposed to be this like really bad gangster, but nothing like that happened in his like weird bar of villainy or whatever. Like, it's supposed to be like the worst scum of the universe in that Star Wars place, but they didn't have a single
turns
lady.
Turns out that it's actually in Thailand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not even as bad as Thailand. It's
like... How much did it cost?
So the worst part was it was free entry. And what they expected was for you to buy drinks inside. But because we were like 19-year-old fucking students, we didn't buy drinks inside. We just went inside and just fucking gasped in horror.
So then that means they're like getting paid like a flat rate? Or it would be. Them or?
So I think people were tipping them, but it was fucked. My God. It was fucked.
Wow, what a business model.
Yeah, so I would not count that as one of your trips to a strip club.
No, okay.
I would definitely not count that as, because like at that point it's not even, it's just a weird spectacle and
It's like a freak circus. Yeah.
What else do they have in Thailand that you can do?
What do you mean? Are you talking about illegal things you can
I'm
do?
I'm just thinking like
wholesome things.
Because I
want
to go to
Thailand,
but now I'm not so sure I want to go to Thailand. So now I need someone to hype me back up to going to Thailand.
You can go take pictures with tigers that have been drugged so they don't eat you.
That's even worse somehow.
Okay. Do they have tigers that can do the ping pong ball trick?
I would look into that.
Oh no.
Well, I guess I'm just going to have to go for myself and see what Thailand has to offer.
Drug Maybe tiger. You just have to develop this skill, Will, and you can do it whatever you want.
Yeah, I don't need to pay to see someone else do it.
Alan, you have to say the wholesome things you did here. Well, I showed you a lot of Montreal.
Yeah, okay. Other than the nasty, disgusting things that Nigel showed me, like we went to the casino,
Alan,
before
we went
to the strip
club. I think we were there for like maybe 10 minutes. Maybe.
It was still well worth it.
9 minutes and 59 seconds we're talking to the bouncer.
I know Nigel's going to dispute this, but it's 100% true. He is actually... Like, I don't know how he's very good at gambling. That's kind of an oxymoron because it's not even like blackjack or poker. Like, the slot machines, Nigel prints money from slot machines like they're ATMs. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
I have to say, the like, same casino, it was a year ago, I signed up and I'd never had an account. So they gave me $25 that you have to gamble. You can't withdraw it. I'm proud to say I turned that into $1,300.
What? No way. What?
He does that all the time.
Jesus. That's like a 100, wait, 10x?
That's insane.
No, 100x?
Yeah,
what?
We hit some...
50x? How?
I don't know, man.
Are you counting cards
it's
or something?
No, it was the slots. It was the slot machine.
I swear, because we went with... We went with one of Nigel's friends, and the whole time he was talking about like sort of like this crazy luck that Nigel has, and the whole time I was like, "No, like you only saw like when I was winning. You didn't see like when I lost. Like it's just like it's an illusion."
It's
and we
true.
Go to the
though.
Casino, and Nigel's like showing me one of the machines. He sits down. The first thing he does, he like hits it, and it like makes $40 comes out like it immediately.
Those magical fingers.
Yeah. Just
it lined
for the
up
rest
pretty good.
Night.
Wow!
We created the the gambling illusion for Alan. I don't actually win all the time. I'll keep saying it.
The first time I went gambling, I was 18. I don't know the gambling age. The gambling age is usually 21, but that's usually not the gambling; it's the alcohol. Mm. But there is a casino near me that doesn't do alcohol, and so it's 18. Or you have to go.
Wait,
to the
so you can gamble but you can't drink?
They don't serve alcohol at the machines or tables, I think, is how it works. Because Vegas, you have to be 21, I think, because they serve alcohol inside of the casino.
Okay.
Anyways, I played blackjack, and I think I turned, like, $20 into, like, $200 or something. And I'm like, hell yeah, like, I'm good at blackjack. And then I went back a second time, like a couple months later, and then I lost like $60, and I was like, I'm not good at gambling. And that's pretty much the only gambling I've really ever done, other than like $20 here and there at a slot machine every time we pass.
There is a strategy.
Mm. Sure.
Oh yeah. And you got to time the 50 hertz AC line.
Yeah, basically. And if you kick the machine at the right time, it glitches. No.
You unplug the power cord and yeah, you pause the screen on what you want.
No, there. What I've realized is, I mean, it's not even like a theory, is you'll always lose long term. So you have to, you basically,
yeah.
The way that I would win, normally like I don't win that big. When I go with friends, you put in 20 and oftentimes you'll, on like this...
I would like to say that this is not actual official advice, and that statistically speaking, everything Nigel's saying
it's
is
only
wrong.
One,
however,
there's only
continue.
One machine I ever gamble on, and usually if you put $20 in and you bet max, which is like $3 each, you usually, more often than not, you'll get like, you'll win $15. So you have like $35, and you just cash out. You have, like, if you keep going, you'll end with zero. Mm. So like the trick is you just, you pretty much hit the button sometimes like three times and that's it. And then if you come separate times, you know, doing that just, you know, you don't win big, but it pays for your gas and like, you know.
God.
You know, something funny though, I do think like statistically speaking, right, you are guaranteed to lose. However, I think that there is like a human psychology aspect that gives the casino an even bigger advantage. And that is, even if you do win, for some reason, I bet you, even if you gave like somebody with a gambling addiction, you gave them like a rule book that says, if you win more than $10 in the first 5 minutes, leave the casino, they would not be able to do it.
No, but I've learned that if you are okay not winning a lot, you'll be good, usually.
Mm,
but that's, I think, like, I noticed that with the bit. What was the game that
Bust
we
a
were
bit?
Playing?
Yeah.
Bust a bit. That it's a whole long story. Kevin turned like almost no money into like a couple thousand dollars. And it's almost like, it's like half of the game is just
your own psychology
getting greedy.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the less greedy you are, the higher the likelihood you can actually make money. Cause like Kevin was like consistently actually doing okay, which to me was like kind of mind blowing. I don't understand this, but I think maybe, I don't know how the platform works, but I think I'm just speculating right now, but I'm thinking maybe the platform should, you know what, let's explain how the game works. Also don't do this. This is gambling. Gambling's bad. Gambling is bad. And if you think gambling is anything other than bad, you're an idiot. However, it can be fun, and you have to be prepared to, any money you put in there,
you don't get it. Well, I have a scheme. I came up with a way to win every time.
No, shut up. No schemes. Schemes are bad. Okay. So Bust a Bit is a, it's like a crypto based, it's just like a freaking casino. And the way it works is really stupid. There's a graph and it just plots time. And the longer it goes, that time number, so if it's 2 seconds or 3 seconds, is a multiplier to your initial bet. However, it can crash. And so what you have to do is you have to click get out. You can set automatic ones too. And you have to click get out before it crashes. And so if you bet $10 and it gets up to 2 seconds and you click get out, you get $20. However, if it gets up to 2.1 seconds and crashes and you haven't pressed it, then you lose the money. And sometimes it'll go up to like hundreds of seconds. And sometimes it'll be like 1.1 seconds. And it's like, it is actually like insanity because you get to watch a live playing field of everybody who's in like the same room as you virtually playing. There's a whole scoreboard in real time. And it's like, it's actually ridiculous.
I was gonna say, it starts seconds, but then it actually gets faster and faster. So I think it's like 1 second, 2 seconds, then it goes exponential. So it's like, it will start going crazy because I remember there was a guy, I think, who bet one bit or whatever, like 1 millionth of a Bitcoin, and he multiplied it by 1 million. He let it ride to 1 million. It's like why?
In these lobbies, you could see people betting like tens of thousands of dollars on a single run.
It's so fucked. But the fucked up thing is, even if they win, because there's other people in the lobby, that means the game still wins because those other people lost. Right. So it's like...
So my conspiracy theory is like, obviously these websites make money. Like they will never develop an algorithm that loses their money. Like it always consistently will make the money, which is fair. Like if you're running a gambling site like that, it's kind of expected that you have to somehow make money. I don't know if it's algorithmically generated or if it actually is truly random, where it, like it will essentially change the odds dynamically. Like maybe it doesn't actually look what people are doing in the moment, so it is truly random in the moment, but maybe like over time it will. Like I have no idea.
Well, I mean, I think that's the biggest problem with all of the like the crypto-based gambling stuff is that they're not regulated, right? So you just have to trust that they're quote-unquote fair. I would not doubt that there's literally an algorithm that just makes sure, like I wouldn't think that they're taking a 10% edge. That'd be crazy. But to have it where it's just algorithmically that 1%. Yeah, they're getting 1% just over time. Like I feel like that's pretty much expected. Like otherwise how do they make their money? But I do not know the inner workings of how it, because sometimes it explodes at like a 1.01 multiplier. So it's like you never even had a chance to make any money.
So I wonder if like if there is some weighting or if it actually is completely
it could
random,
be completely random.
Some combination.
I have no idea.
Is there like legislation for like everything that's online or like at a slot machine, like it's not going to be true random. It's going to be pseudo random, but that has to be
so,
like.
So it turns out the government is stupid and old and doesn't know how to do this. And the only thing that's regulated is like in-person stuff. I think the online stuff is like Wild West.
Wait,
right
really?
Because none of them are hosted here. Yeah, I think they're all hosted in other countries.
If you're hosted, because I know what the Bitcoin stuff, for a lot of them, they're in Curacao or something. And it's like some of them would be like, as a U.S. citizen, you're not legally allowed playing on them. But they don't enforce anything, right? So it's like, that's how they get around it. But it's like, if you want to legally allow a U.S. citizen to play, then you have to follow those laws.
Oh.
I definitely feel like Bust a Bit in a giant arena with like 1,000 people playing at the same time would be absolutely magical.
No, that would be like a bloodbath.
No, but you're not playing against each other, though.
I mean, you are and you aren't, though. Because if someone, you know, people will still lose.
Well, okay, so I guess if we don't know exactly how it works, but like the game itself, you are playing against the house. Who knows what the house is doing behind the scenes?
Me and my mate had the best way of always winning against the casino. So at Star City, literally every single time, So at Star City in Sydney, there was this area just before the high rollers room, which was a big fountain. And basically all the high rollers would come out and for good luck, they would chuck their chips into the fountain.
Oh.
So me and my mates would go roll up our jeans at like 2 a.m. and just walk around in the fountain collecting money. And then what we would do is we would get those chips and take them to the like to blackjack and spend them. And one time, like I kid you not, the woman was like, "Why are these chips wet?"
So wait, your method, like, your method to always win was to steal.
Yeah, that's not stealing, Nigel. They were thrown away into a fountain. A security guard did tell us once that they were going to charity, but we were like, "No, we don't believe you." That's bullshit.
Didn't you? You got banned.
Yeah, I got banned. Not for that, but
but for the COVID chasers.
The COVID stunt of coming in with a really hot head, and then they were like, "No, you lied. You fabricated that."
I love the idea that a casino is like the ethical board for deciding that you did something wrong.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, oh, okay, thanks, Mr. Casino, for telling me I did something bad.
And it's like how
what you did was very unethical, son.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to know, how could they prove that I didn't have a hot head? Are they admitting they have thermal cameras like permanently set up in the casino to scan everyone's temperature or something? Like,
dude, I think they're just trying to throw someone else under the bus so they don't get in trouble. Definitely. That's 100%. Dude, no one does anything unless it keeps them from getting in trouble. That's like how half the world works, dude. Like, the instant that somebody has to provide something, like a better service, or it'll like cut their bottom line, then they start trying really hard.
Should we talk about the boxing match?
No.
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 If Alex comes on a second podcast.
Also, when does this podcast go out?
I think on the like the 16th or the 15th of May.
Well, that's odd. You should do it exactly the same time as the boxing match.
Okay, so speaking of gambling with money, how about gambling with the neurons in your brain by
boxing? But you could also bet on Alex, right? There is the ability to.
Is there betting? I don't know if there's
betting. Is there betting? I have no idea.
Wait, what do you mean?
Because if there was betting, I would definitely.
I thought you said, "I don't know if that is betting." I'm like, wow, this guy's confident.
Wait. Is there betting? Wait, I don't know. I feel like this just got more exciting.
I mean, we could definitely do it internally.
We can have some unsanctioned, I mean.
Yeah, I want to hear, can we get your guys' your reactions and bets on who you think's going to win?
Oh, man. I literally cannot even begin.
Dude, I reckon I can call it.
Yeah. Okay.
For who? You and Odd Ones Out?
No, I'm not going to say that. Obviously, I'm going to win.
Like, yeah, Odd Ones Out's going to win.
Wait, that would
That's actually probably the only fight you could call is saying that your opponent.
Wait, imagine how funny that would be if I trained all this time, flew all the way to America, and I just get knocked out straight away in the first round.
Wait, but I mean, that is possible.
I know it is possible, but no, I'm going to win.
Are you worried about like actually getting hit and being even dumber than you currently are after the fight?
Well, the thing, a little bit, because when I first said yes to this, I don't think I really kind of truly considered how horrible a sport boxing is. And then only when I started it and did my first spar, I was like, holy shit, getting hit hard in the head sucks. And then you do it again and you do it again. And I've done like a lot of sparring now. And it's like, even the when I watched boxing, I thought the shots where they didn't get knocked out, I thought that didn't hurt. But no, you get like black flashes, which is obviously your brain bouncing around inside your head. And you just do this over and over and over again. And like, you get this feeling as well when you've been in a spa where like my coach describes it as being heady, which is essentially you just feel hungover for like 5 days. Oh. And he's like, "Oh, don't worry about that. That's normal." I'm like, "You're saying I'm concussed. That's normal." I'm like, what the fuck
is
this
sport? It's like when he goes, "That's normal." I find it funny because it's like, that's normal, if you have a concussion, but it's not normal to have the concussion.
No.
He's like, he has a very relative idea of normal.
Exactly. For my boxing coach, he's always concussed.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the problem is that his normal, the more brain damage you get, the more you don't realize that is not normal.
Well, that is true. Like, the more I get hit now, the less it hurts.
Like, you're saying, I mean, this is normal.
So it's just the middle ground that's bad when you're aware of your brain damage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how you can see. That's when you know it's disappearing. Your intelligence. Yeah.
You're like, hey, I'm pretty good. I don't really notice anything when I get knocked
around. At some
point,
you're like, I can't tell the difference.
But the thing, you're saying this is a joke. I literally had a boxer tell me, he's like, yeah, bro, it's only like the first couple of hits that really hurt. And then you've lost your brain cells, so it's fine.
Oh, God. Like,
they actually said that?
Yeah, he actually said that.
Oh, wait, no. Couple of hits for but a given why? Fight or in general?
No, he was just saying in general. Just
you get hit a few times and that's it.
Yeah, it's like fine. Callus on your hands. Your brain can callus.
It's like going to concerts and the music's so loud that your ears ring, but eventually it stops happening. It's because your right, hearing is just worse now.
So how many times have you been hit in the head?
I'm not telling you that, William. No, probably in total. I don't.
It's like, I can't remember.
Why am I here again?
Oh no, this is like Flowers for Algernon.
Oh, no.
I don't want to quantify it because then it's just depressing.
Wait, quantify what?
How many times I've been hit in the head while training.
Is it true that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger?
Yes.
Definitely. Unequivocally,
I am more
yes.
intelligent now that I've started boxing. It's shit, though, because there are some great things about boxing. Like, the fitness is awesome.
Right.
The fitness and just how competitive it is. Like, I like competitive sports. And the fact that it's just you one-on-one with another guy trying to figure him out. And then when you do and you do something sneaky and you hit him, it's almost like, haha, I tricked you. And you get this feeling right. of satisfaction. But I'm not an aggressive person. So some guys love knocking people out. And like the first time I landed a proper hit on someone, I stopped and was like, I'm sorry. And my coach was like, what the fuck are you doing? Hit him again. And I was like, oh shit. Like,
no,
oh,
kill fuck.
Him. Yeah.
Finish him.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a strange sport.
That's the brain damage, dude.
What?
That's what the training is. The training is just inducing more and more brain damage until you become a boxer that's basically immune to pain and more brain damage. You know, you ever seen like the videos of like the little, I saw it on Reddit the other day, the little rat car where they took the brain out of the rat and put neurons in it and it like drives around. They literally just like reduce your brain to like 3 or 4 neurons.
You're saying that's going to happen to me.
And then you can just kill people.
Well, you can still drive a car.
Yeah, that's at least I got that to look forward to.
So, okay. Do they do this, like, can you wear a helmet or can you like just do boxing but no face shots?
So it's head protection, but in terms of preventing concussions, it doesn't really do that because when you get hit, your head still moves, right? So
yeah, but any sort of like damping, like any sort of like
it does a bit, but
the jerk.
It does, but it more just prevents superficial cuts. But there was actually a study done and they found that boxers that wore headgear actually sustained worse concussive injuries because the fights went for longer, which means they got more blows to the head instead of, you know, breaking your nose and then
one and done.
Yeah. So it's
I think the ultimate solution is don't get hit in the head.
Yeah, well, that's my plan.
I mean, if you're good enough, you should never get hit.
I'm
going to
do
right?
this one the whole time.
You're going to be on the ground doing that. When your arm starts
fencing
up. What do they call that?
It's like,
no, there's a term when your arm starts
I'm pretty sure it's called like the fencing.
Oh yeah, that sounds right. Position. Like you have no control, and you're for whatever reason your
arm. Or the
arms
fencing response.
Like,
yeah, it's the fencing.
Is that a
response.
True thing? That's sick.
Fencing response?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
If you, get like a concussion or something, your arm will literally you'll be like, if you're on the ground, your arm will just start like floating up and just be like.
You see it in UFC. Like when a lot of people get knocked out, you do see it in UFC.
But could that be because they're trained athletes, so it's such an instinct?
It says immediately after moderate forces have been applied to the brain stem. One second.
Oh.
It's like some horrible thing going
on. It says the forearms are held flexed or extended after you get hit in the brain stem. You know,
that's not even your brain, dude.
The
that's
stem
like some,
of your brain.
Some, like deep.
Your lizard
ancestor. What is that? That's some fucking trait from 2 billion years ago that we had,
the,
you know.
The fish that you were descended from is trying to help you in any way it can.
Exactly.
Am I doing a good job? No, you're not.
Don't eat me. That fish is like, I've got it from here.
Get you killed. That was like my biggest concern because I was considering we had a whole.
Well,
lot,
I asked you.
We talked about.
I asked you if you'd box me. Yeah. You said no because we're at similar height.
How tall are you?
6'3" and a half.
You're like just slightly too tall. I'm like almost 6'1".
You guys are all tall. 2 inches is a lot. Little kid around you guys.
And how much do you weigh?
I'm 88 at the moment.
88 pounds?
American units, so it's like 195, 190.
If I had been training for 6 months, maybe I could get up to that. Because I sit around 175. So I'd have to
gain how much you weigh, Will?
20 pounds. Mm. Like 175.
Because I remember when you came to Australia, we both went on the
I was fat.
You went on the scales and fat. You were depressed that you were the fat. Same as me.
No, I was fat.
Wait, Alex, who are you? You have to make your calls. Who's going to win the fights?
Oh, I guess main fight is what iDubbbz versus Dr. Mike. And that is a really hard one to call, because if Dr. Mike has actually been boxing for 10 years, then it's just such an advantage. It's pretty fucked. But I think Ian's maybe got that crazy underdog factor.
The only thing I can think about Ian is that, like, Ian does not... He does not half-ass anything.
Yeah.
And so, like, Ian was training for this literally 6 months before it was even, like, on the move, this whole event.
And I kind of trust that he would only take the fight if he knew he had a chance as well.
Here's my speculation. Okay. Because I'm not a boxer. But if I had to guess, most of your training is just about defending yourself.
It depends.
Is that the most important part?
It really depends on... Yeah, well, that obviously is very important, because if you've got power and you get knocked out, you can't even use it, you know?
Right.
But it really depends. There's different aspects to training.
Because my guess is, like, offense is also kind of defense, where it's like if you're aggressive with them, they're going to be more careful with you.
Yeah. That is a but big part of it. If you're offensive, then they don't have the time to kind of dictate the fight. So if you're the one dictating the fight, right. You're the one being aggressive, then most of the time it's easier for you, because you don't have to react to as many things like they do.
But then you also could just, if you just take a bunch of hits but protect your head and just let them get tired.
Yeah. That's the thing, is it does, like, I thought you could do that as well, but like, let's say you got your hands up in front of your face, right? You're covering your face. If you get hit in the hands, your hands still hit you in the face.
Right into your face.
And that fucking hurts.
And getting body shots is not...
Oh, the body shots. And I learned that very quickly, because at my sparring gym, because I'm quite tall, the only guys that are the same height as me are fucking massive, like, Islander guys that weigh, like, literally 120 kilos, which is, 250 pounds.
Yeah.
And I will... Yeah. Jab them, right? I'll hit them directly in the face. They don't flinch. And then one of their jabs hits me and I'm just like, fuck. Like, yeah.
Have you, like, pissed blood or anything after a sparring?
Oh, I've had fucked jaw. I've had it just where my nose won't stop bleeding for days after I get hit in the nose. Yeah. Like, it'll start and then it'll stop, and then I'll wake up at night and I'm like, oh, my nose. And then I go snorkeling, and because of the pressure, I take off my mask and the whole thing is filled with blood, like, 2 days later.
And then the sharks come.
And then, exactly.
So, how realistic are the Rocky movies?
Extremely, extremely realistic.
Yeah.
They're 100%.
Have you listened to that montage at least once?
I haven't. By choice, but my coach insists on playing it.
Yeah,
are you serious?
I'm not joking.
That's so funny.
And he's
funny.
Like, you're going to be world champion. You're going to be world champion.
I'm like half the neurons in his brain are dedicated to remembering that song has to play while training.
Literally.
Did he make run after a chicken? Did you have to chase a chicken?
No, is that part of Rocky?
That was in Rocky 3, I think. Because each of the Rocky movies, there's like a different strategy that he has to like learn. And I think it was in the third one, he had to become faster.
Mm.
And so they let like a chicken on the loose, and he had to run and catch it. And that was like his trick.
Well, I've still got time.
What's your strategy? What's your like the one thing you're doing?
Well, I'm not going to tell you. Well, I've got one thing I do very well.
Okay. No, but I'm saying
I'm not going
to
tell.
No, but Al, like, you don't have to say it, but like what Alan said, you got to have to have, there's like one unique thing that you're training for, like chasing chickens or something, you know, chasing them for speed, I guess.
Kissing my opponent until they love
that me. Was going to be my thing. My thing was during the match, I'm planning to hit on odd ones out so he gets really confused and mixed messages. Just be really creepy, like touch his elbows. stroke his face.
Like when that thing where like the boxers are like leaning on each other, you just start kissing his neck.
Just,
just real tender kisses.
What if you do a video on do the strategies from Rocky actually work?
That's very funny. Chasing chickens.
What are the other strats?
Is that too old of a reference? I've actually,
I've seen every Rocky movie and the Creed movies now. Like the spin-off.
So, Alan, what are the other strategies that Alex can incorporate into his training?
Tell me,
Alan. The first movie was just Rocky was like washed up. He was like 30 years old, and so he was just like trying to like get into shape. Somehow that never became an issue again, even though he only got older over time. It's only in the first movie where they're like, "You're 30 years old, you can't do this." And he's like,
"Yeah, but he established
himself."
He established himself.
Right. So then in the second movie, it doesn't make any sense. He goes with this strategy of, because he's a southpaw, right? And so in the second movie, like his trick is he learns to fight right-handed, and he was going to switch like halfway through the match to really mess up Apollo Creed in their rematch. But then like during the match, he's like, "No tricks. I don't want any tricks." And so he fights the whole thing right-handed, which I don't really know what.
Well, it's interesting you should mention that, because I was trying to find out how Odd Ones Out fights. And you can see there's videos of him animating. And when he animates, he actually does it with his left hand, right? But then when I found out from the organizers that he fights orthodox, so that means that he knows how to use his left hand as well. So he's probably
doing Rocky too.
He's doing Rocky too. He's watched that and he's going to be like,
"He's going to switch it up on you."
He's
going to
switch
through.
It up on me.
He's doing a Rocky too. Rocky 3, I think, was the speed one. He gets chicken. Like real lean and he gets really fast. Rocky 4, which one's Rocky 4? That was the like the Russia one, right? Where he like goes and fights in Russia.
You're saying right as though any of us have any clue.
Yeah, I have no
idea.
Don't
think there wasn't a strategy in that one. He just trained like in the Russian wilderness and somehow.
Alan, you should be doing this boxing.
That's a strategy.
Yes, with all my Rocky strategies.
Alan can fight you. Alan, how tall are you? You're taller than me.
I'm 6'2", and right now I'm like 200 pounds. So actually,
you and me can fight.
I could spar with Alex and just get my fucking face caved in. Like, I'm sweating just sitting here talking about Rocky. It's like hot here right now. I like didn't turn my AC down enough. So I'm like, so in Rocky 5, it's more of a street fight.
Rocky could chase my chicken.
Oh, wait, Alex. So who's gonna win each fight?
Okay, so the title fight is iDubbbz versus Dr. Mike, who Dr. Mike apparently has been fighting for 10 years. Ian has been fighting for about a year.
And I think it's going to be close. I don't think there's going to be a knockout, but I reckon Dr. Mike will probably take it.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would be more surprised if Ian won, I think. But I also would not bet against Ian.
No.
Like, Ian, I think, has probably trained more than Dr. Mike has trained. Like I don't know exactly what Dr. Mike's training regimen, but I would say like I bet you Ian has trained more in this like 6 months than Dr. Mike has trained in like the past year.
Yeah, 100%. You can get a lot done. Like you can very quickly change from a complete novice to someone that knows how to not get hit, which was quite like a revolution for me. I was like, I can do this and this.
I don't have to
get hit in the head.
How many of those did it take?
No, I'm not saying a number. I just don't want to quantify it for myself and put it out there. You know, I don't want to. I just don't want to think about
it's like
it.
How many hours I've played Call of Duty.
Yeah, you don't want to know that.
I don't want to know.
But Dr. Mike, what do you think of Michael Reeves versus Graham Stephan?
I think that is honestly why Creator Clash is so great, because I have no idea. Michael's got some like goblin strength.
He does.
We used to work out, and he's like a lot stronger than you think he would be. Like you think that he'd sort of be this fat little marshmallow, but he's actually like a full sized man condensed into a little smaller sized man.
Like a Bruce Lee kind of a thing.
Yes, like very just dense.
If he embraces his inner goblin, he will 100% win this. Just goes full goblin mode and just overpowers him round one.
What if he just gets out? He's like, "Gobble mode!"
Just shrieking.
That would be amazing.
If he did that and he lost, I think that would.
Oh, this would be great. Still on brand.
I find it just interesting that Michael's even in this fight.
I feel like the bet I'd be confident taking is like, is he even going to actually get into the arena? He's gonna drop out like he did before.
No, but even Graham Stephan, it's like it just doesn't. It seems like in my mind, two people who wouldn't join a boxing match.
Yeah.
Here, I'll tell you what it is. I'm confident. I know why everybody else is doing this. They just like they need something in their lives that's completely different than what they've been doing.
Yeah, that's why I did it as well. I was like, it's just so weird to do. Like,
like Alex Ernst.
Yeah, I was also surprised to see him there too.
Is he on this list? Or
he's still on there. He's fighting Ryan from Super Mega.
Yeah. So he, I told Ian, I was like, you should ask Alex. Because Alex is one of those people who's sort of just been like trying to figure out what to do. You know, he's kind of been doing YouTube. He had some success doing it, but he just was sort of just like in this rut, and I'm like, he wants to get in shape. Like he constantly talks about like getting in shape, and I'm like, this 100% Alex is the kind of guy who's crazy enough to just say yes to something like this, and he's doing it. And he did it, and I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure that's why I would have done it if I did it, is just to do something completely different and to get into better shape. Like, I'm not in bad shape, but I'm not in shape. Like, I'm just, you know,
plays COD a lot and drinks Red Bulls.
And so I feel like I can kind of understand the angle that like Michael would take or Graham Stephan would take. We'd just be like, all right, let's do something completely hilariously different.
Do you know how seriously Alex has been like taking it? Has he been training like a lot?
Yeah, he's been training a lot.
Would your money be on Alex Ernst then?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's it.
I would not want to fight Alex.
Yeah. There's a couple I have no idea what's going to happen.
Alex has that like hobgoblin.
There's a lot of goblins. A lot of goblin strength in this fight.
Well, hobgoblin is different. Oh, okay. Than, I'm talking
entirely
like
different species.
He's got that like, you know what I'm talking
about? What's hobgoblin?
About? Like, that person
is that like dwarf crossed with goblin? Like thicker.
I think Will doesn't even know goblin. He's the
hobgoblin.
I think hobgoblin is just hobgoblin. Like a bigger one.
That was my thought. It's just like a kind of beefy.
Oh,
goblin,
yeah.
Whereas like a regular goblin is like cool. Michael Reeves. Alex is
you
like.
You know, it says a hoblock goblin tends to be more about creating mischief.
That's not.
That's not true.
What do we call it? What do we call a big, strong goblin?
An ogre.
An orc. An urukai.
An orc.
Urukai. Sick.
I feel like Alex has just always been that kind of kid where it's like, even if he's not in shape, he could probably punch you really hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just like a certain body type. Like, Alex has that body type of just kind of just big.
I would just be intimidated. Just him sort of like staring me dead in the eye, I'd be very intimidated. I wouldn't even want to like get past that, you know? He's got a look in his eye that he can do.
But like, I haven't really seen what Ryan's doing either.
No.
Because so Ryan McGee is one half of Super Mega. Alex Ernst is Alex Ernst, kind of known for Vlog Squad, but now just sort of does his own thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard.
I actually don't know. I genuinely don't know. I feel like any answer is just guessing.
Yeah. Especially, it's just so hard with novices. It's just like literally anything could happen.
Here's one that I don't know what to think of. Harley versus Aaron Hansen.
So
Epic Mealtime. Harley came from Epic Mealtime. Aaron comes from Game Grumps and a bunch of old animation stuff.
I think that weight just makes such a big difference, and that is the weight class that I think that is the most mismatched, in that Harley's quite a bit bigger. And when I fought bigger guys, even when I land good shots on them, just because it's, you know, it's like a mass thing. If I throw my 90 kilo body at someone that's 120 kilos, it's unfair. And they will do a thing, their hand doesn't even move that fast, hits me in the gloves, and I'm like, what the fuck was that? I just got hit by a cannon. And just things in boxing, especially when you're getting close and you're just leaning on each other. Like, if you weigh 120 kilos, you are going to drain all of their energy so quickly.
Just by leaning.
Like, you're not meant to lean on them, but it happens, you know. And just the kind of psychological things of being in the ring with someone that's that big. I mean, good on Game Grumps for doing that. I don't think I'd be able to do it.
Yeah, I really respect everybody who's doing this. Like, seriously. Like, anyone who sort of sees this anything as, like, other than just, like, impressive is a jerk. Like, this is some serious, like, discomfort. Like, being completely out of your zone, trying something that you probably never thought you would have done in your entire life.
In front of a lot of people as well.
In front of a lot of people. Like, it's going to be hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, I mean, and Alex isn't even in his own country. Like,
no, yeah, that's the thing that's... I'm just hoping I get enough time to kind of acclimatize. That's why I'm arriving 2 weeks before. So, you know,
it takes about that time just that's
jet
what I'm
lag.
Saying.
Yeah, jet lag fucks me for a week usually. Like,
so then we've got internet comment etiquette versus DJ Welch. I actually don't know anything about DJ.
No, neither. I think he's mates with Odd Ones Out.
So internet comment etiquette. That is Eric. He is known for his, like, I don't know, how would you describe his videos?
It's kind of what it's like, a bit like reviewy, like he kind of
like trolling people, reviewing, like, social commentary while trolling people.
Yeah.
He's also the Salvia guy who did Salvia and then
with the cat
his windshield.
Wait, is it
when
he
the cat
Salvia
jumps
guy?
On the windshield of the
That's
car?
Eric.
He's like,
that is Eric.
That's him.
I did not know Eric was the Salvia guy.
So there's AB from the H3 podcast and then Hundar. I don't really know. Is Hundar a streamer or something? I don't really know.
No, I don't know who either of
Cowchop? Oh.
I think Hundar's going to win that one just based on how they look.
The pictures are like, he just looks like a
Viking. Yeah, yeah.
Then we've got Yodeling Haley and Just a Minx.
Yeah.
I don't actually know who Yodeling
No,
Haley
she's a TikTok
is.
Girl.
Justin Minx is like a giant.
She's, I feel like you say a giant, but this is just us. She's
like 6 feet.
I don't think she's 6 foot. I think she's like 5'10" or something. She's just like slightly tall for a woman.
I saw there. I watched part of a stream. Oh, 5'9". Okay.
Will's just spreading lies and misinformation.
It's because you watched a stream with Michael Reeves and her.
Hobgoblin. She's like a hobgoblin.
A monstrous woman. 5'9". Enormous.
I have, honestly, the most respect I have is for these two girls. Like, what a freaking, like, completely out of your water. Like, this is uncomfortable for the guys. I can't imagine
how good
feel signing up for this, especially being the only two.
No, it's gonna be a fucking hilarious event, and it's gonna be nice as well that it's not all like the other ones I've briefly watched. It's like the cringiest people, like the people you just hate, like the TikTok events are just horrible. Like, everyone's so egotistical and so fake, and you just I don't want them all to get knocked out.
You can't tell. Is it real or are they just trying to do what they've seen on TV in the past?
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of doing a shitty job.
No, so it's...
Ryan and Alex, Matt and Dad. I did a thing and Odd Ones Out.
We already said it's an
unfair... Yeah, who do you think is going to win that?
He's already said it's an unfair fight. Like, Alex
odd
is
one
definitely
out or
losing.
I did a thing?
Oh, I did a thing. Honest opinions. I don't care what you say.
If someone pointed a gun at my head and they said that they would murder me unless I picked a winner, I think I would go with you.
Yes. You're not just saying that because you know me and you have to say this.
No. I feel like Odd Ones Out is more sort of reserved. Maybe I want to say like more, he's like kind of more of like an introvert and you're more extroverted. And I kind of feel like maybe, I don't know if that matters too much though.
It doesn't. There's, when at my gym.
Once you do enough training, it probably
There's a kid at my gym who's 15. He's 6 foot and he's an introvert. And then he doesn't really speak much, but as soon as you get in the ring with him, and as soon as like you tap him once and you kind of like wake him up, he's a fucking monster. And
you just like, God. All you have to do is so like, scary. You have to peel the tape off. So he's like, okay, I don't feel bad anymore. And then
that's what it's literally like. And like this kid's 15 and like the older fighters, like people are like, nah, I don't want to get in the ring with him. Like people are just like,
so he waits for you to hit him. So it's legally self-defense.
Yeah, that's what it is. No, I think it's a bit of the adrenaline and like in a reason. So you're like, oh, okay, I can hit this person now that they've hit me.
Yes, exactly. You know.
Oh my God.
So yeah, my gut says to vote for Alex, but that also scares me, the fact that I think that way, because that's kind of like a trap.
No, it's not, Will. This is that's the correct
answer.
Wait,
why is it a trap?
Well, because you're like, oh, you're like under... like you're sort of underestimating.
I just don't know anything about odd ones out. I just don't know any like.
No, neither. Honestly, that's the thing that's like you can't underestimate.
Like he could show
people
up and just like, be a monster.
Yeah, a he demon. Could be fucking.
The kids are all the people that watch him. The kids are gonna have a hard time watching.
Like, he just after he squishes my head, you know,
he just, like, oh God, like he just turns Alex into a paste.
Just goes to prison after this.
What do you think the like day after is gonna be like? Because I'm gonna hopefully be there for like the 2 weeks leading up to it, and so I'll be able to get like kind of live that pre-boxing experience with you guys. But you know, I'm curious. You know, what's sort of the worst spar you've had, and what it took 5 days? Like the next day, you're basically just bedridden. Like
that was my like training process. Was like as soon as I got a coach, my coach was like, "Look, the most important thing is like fuck hitting a bag. Is you need to get in there with someone." And just start sparring.
You need to start getting your
ass kicked. And just learn, like, because your first instinct is fear, like you run away to get over that. But so I was doing normal sparring for, you know, 6 months, seven, and then only recently in the last month I've done like proper like hard sparring, 5 rounds, 2 minutes, which is what it's going to be. And when I
so what's the difference? What's the difference between like beginner sparring and like hard sparring? Is it sort of closer
it's
to like
just,
an actual match?
It's close to the match, but it's just the intensity of how hard you're going. Because obviously, when you're punching, you can choose to like tap someone, or you can choose to throw your whole get your weight behind it and go as fast as you can. And when you're doing that,
so this is more like throwing real punches.
Real punches. You're trying to knock them. Like you're sparring and trying to knock the person out. And that.
So otherwise, you're just trying to like get into them. You're not actually trying to hit them. And now you're like
now you're trying to actually get your weight behind, throw your punches, and then your brain also you understand that that person's trying to do the same to you. So the anxiety level in the fight takes a lot out of you, and so it's a completely different fight when you're scared. Mm-hmm. So if you're scared,
it's like stress. It's stress. Like a stress
it's
fight.
Literally like 3 times harder, and it's like 5 rounds of 2 minutes. When you're scared is like the hardest thing I've ever done. It's like harder than a 90-minute soccer game, like sprinting the entire time.
It's probably just like a consistent adrenaline rush. Like you're literally, your body is just like, just like constantly like.
But in terms of the next day, you get pretty fucked. Like if you get hit a lot in the head, you'll just feel like you've got a bad hangover. Like, which is probably, that's just concussion, isn't it?
No. Nah, at this point, it's probably better not to know because you're going to have to.
You're good.
I mean, you're talking straight, so
am I?
Now, am I? Yet.
I agreed to come on this podcast, so I'm not talking straight, Will.
Well, talking straight and making bad decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
You're gonna start speaking in an English accent after it's done. You're not gonna sound Australian anymore.
That would be sick. Apparently, that's happened to people, hasn't it? Something traumatic brain injury, and the guy's got like an Irish accent or something. Have you heard of that happening?
Just spontaneous. I've heard like spontaneous accent changing.
How does that work?
Don't know. Maybe there's an Irish part of your brain that gets triggered or something.
Yeah, often nationalities. They're just different parts of your brain.
The fight is May 14th in Tampa, Florida at the Yuengling Center.
Yep.
That's the beer. There is a live stream. We're doing free promotion. Do you want to promote it?
You can. You're a good talker, Will. You can promote it.
Okay. It's Ian. It's Ian's thing. You're doing part of it. Honestly, this to me is just going to be as close as it gets to kind of like a VidCon experience. You can get tickets to the stream on thecreatorclash.com or tickets to the event. But I think they might be close to sold out, if not sold out already.
But I want some I Did a Thing fans there because it's going to be all American. So Odd One's out. The other people that have made their announcements already, they're going to have a lot of fans in there. So,
have you announced it?
I imagine on Twitter, my video should be coming out. Well, by the time this comes out, the video will be out. So, yeah.
Alex, you'll have your biggest fans there. Us.
Yes, my most important fans.
If you don't get the video done before the match, you're going to have someone post it since you'll be comatose.
Yeah, no, I'll just set it on auto post so no one has to do it. Just in case.
Scheduled.
It looks like there's basically, this is hilarious, I'm looking at the seats right now, there's nosebleed seats that are like $25, and then there's really expensive floor seats that are like $500 to $1,000. And then the stream is, how much is the stream actually?
Stream's a good price. It was like, compared to others.
The stream's really not bad. Was it $25?
I think it was $25, from memory.
$25, hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's right now. If you wait till the day of show, it's $35. So yeah, if you guys have any interest in seeing Alex
win,
yes, win, and definitely
Michael
win.
Reeves, Hobgoblin, and I'm trying to think who you know, people who listen.
Definitely
to
Michael,
who they iDubbs, right? Michael definitely Reeves, Michael. Me,
definitely Alex. Yeah, if you, I'm really excited just to be there. I don't really know what to expect otherwise. I'm kind of almost even nervous for you guys. I do a really good job getting like empathetically nervous.
No, I reckon you're gonna get really into it on the night. You're gonna go like full gladiator, like Roman viewer, okay. And just
if
be
I,
like,
if
yes.
I knew more about boxing, I think I would. Like, if I had more boxing experience, which probably wouldn't be a bad idea, I think I probably would be less nervous. But for me, it almost feels like it's a little bit closer to a fight to the death than it actually is. Like, I don't know. Like, shit, man. Well, okay, I got a question, Alex. Would you rather get knocked out by Odd Ones Out or shit your pants with a
knocked out, 100%. No question.
Yeah, I'd rather be the guy that gets knocked out.
Because imagine
known
if,
for, the known for
if you got knocked out, it would go like semi-viral, you know? It would be... But if you shat yourself in the boxing match, that would actually be like... Random news people would just be talking about it all over the world.
What you need to do, you need to make a bunch of videos like recorded right before the fight of like all the different things that could happen to you that'd be really embarrassing and say that you're doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's
yeah, like,
good
I'm gonna
play.
Get knocked out on purpose. I'm gonna shit my pants on purpose.
And,
I'm gonna
oh, it's
do this
all,
on purpose.
And then you release it afterwards. Like, I knew it. I predicted it.
The bad thing about that question is you can get knocked out and then shit yourself. I'm sure that happens. I'm sure that happens. So, yeah.
So you have to just be... on the cusp of death. You have to hold out for the
yep.
right
for the duration that you're on
no,
the
you can die
in the
ambulance
exactly.
And then you can shit your
you
pants.
Have to have been punched in the asshole so it just kind of seals off, you know.
Like, you guys are doing a whole weigh-in and that's probably going to be filmed and publicized too. I can't, like, what is the plan for that? Like, you just have to like fake be aggressive.
Yeah, that's the funny gotta, thing is like when you see the people, they're so fucking angry. And originally I was planning to fight Matt Watson. Was one of the people that was potentially the first fight ups, and I was talking to Matt. I was like, well, when we're doing the weigh-in, why don't we just like look really angry, lean in, and then just start making out, just properly start making out until someone has to separate us. Like,
and then yeah, you're like, and then you're like, wow. Just
and then
wait
you go
until
back.
We're in the ring.
I feel
ring
like if
you're
gonna do that, it probably would be. Matt Watson
wouldn't it be
would
funny if we
that.
Kiss? Wouldn't it be funny if we just made out?
Yeah,
good joke. Yeah, exactly.
Just wait till the boxing match. Yeah. You get something you've never seen before.
They just completely cancel the match. They don't even want to know it's coming.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing.
How dare you?
That's what we're doing.
I'm very excited.
Alex is going to be shooting ping pong balls out of his butthole.
Oh, yep. Straight towards you, Alan. I'll be aiming for you.
Catch it. Catch it.
Catch it with your mouth. All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Alex. No, if you guys want to see Alex get ripped in half by Odd Ones Out, you can go to thecreatorclash.com and buy in-person tickets if you want to come to Florida or already in Florida. Or watch the stream for like $25 if you buy it before. And I know like that'll on this whole event is anything overpaying for the event is going to charity. So buy a ticket, buy a streaming.
Do it.
Watch Alex get
Alex win. Watch Alex
win.
Get win.
Yeah. Win get win. Getting get wheeled win. Into an ambulance.
But at least if I have my thumbs up, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thumbs up means you haven't shit your pants yet.
All right, we'll see you guys on Patreon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.